Hello everyone. It's 26th of October 2024 and we are going to commence the 155th session of Mindfulness for Beginners today. And I would like to welcome you all, and I would like to welcome Venerable Dhamma Kusala Thero joining all the way from Nisarnawane for this 155th session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English. And as always, I'd like to welcome everyone who's joined here today on Zoom. And some of you are joining with us via Facebook Live as well. So welcome all. And we have planned a wonderful session for today for you. And I'll just explain quickly how our program format is. So we, like in all programs, we dedicated a time to practice mindfulness. So in this program also, we'll start with the practice. And then Swami Nuansa will do a talk. So he'll explain the topic for you. And we are continuing last week's topic today as well, and which will be followed up by a Q&A session where you can ask your questions, forward your questions to Venerable Bhante, and then we will take some time to read your submitted reports as well. So that's how we are going to conduct the program today. So without delaying any further, I'd like to invite Omagama Dhamma Kusala Thero to conduct the practical session. Swaminansa.
Hello everyone. We are having another session of our Mindfulness for Beginners program. Today I thought we can start the session with a small activity, which is somewhat related to the topic that we are about to discuss. So this activity actually is going to be a discussion regarding our daily things and maybe the repetitive things that we have to do in our daily lives. For this, we would really appreciate if you can turn on video and participate for the discussion. That way, I think we can make this activity much more fruitful. That's the idea. So in order to start today's discussion, this is what I would suggest. Now, let's say our daily lives, we have a variety of things to do. Maybe much of them are repetitive. And when you think about your mindset while doing them, you have certain kind of aversion towards these activities. Let's say your daily chores, you have to do it every day, and it's not the best of your time. And usually you do it with a certain level of aversion, right? Then let's say you have to go shopping, do your dishes, all those things you do, but you do with a certain kind of aversion in your mind. So these type of activities, these repetitive activities, these chores, they are a great opportunity for us to practice mindfulness. Mindfulness is more about enjoying these repetitive kind of daily activities. It is about how to appreciate those moments more, right? So let's discuss about your daily schedule and certain kind of repetitive activities that you have to do, maybe like cooking, maybe like doing your dishes, maybe washing clothes, all those type of things. What type of a mental status we have while doing them, and how to make them more enjoyable. Instead of feeling like, you know, they are work, can you make them a play? Right? That's the very idea. Now, how can we enjoy these type of activities more and more? How can we make it a play instead of work that we do repetitively? That's the idea. So I invite you to share your thoughts about this and we will see what comes up. Who would like to start I can't see the raise hand options on this crazy device. Tarindu, can you see?
I can see, but no one's willing to talk, I guess.
No one's willing to talk.
Okay, Mihiri. Yes, Mihiri, you can unmute now and share with us.
Avasarai Banti.
You are muted, I guess. This would be better, I guess.
Yes, sorry. Okay.
Okay. Right.
Wait up, but I will find. Avasarai Bante. Yes, daily chores have become less of a problem now since starting to try to be mindful. Just concentrating on what I have been doing at the time has made life a lot lighter. Both routine things and non-routine things. For example, right now I'm having a lot of people come this evening to my house, and there was a lot of things that I had to do, but I just didn't see them as a lot of things. I just took each one as just a job to do, and everything got done. And my so-called helpers, one by one, one got COVID, something else happened, nobody could come, but I managed to do it all with a very calm mind. And I even managed to join the class. So I'm very happy that actually this practice has made a huge difference. And the routine things also don't seem to be, you know, they're not a burden anymore. And I have seen a big difference in the last few, you know, since practicing quite seriously. So I just would like to share that, Bhante.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Now that lightness, even we can feel, right? You are not taking it as a burden. Let's say if you hate these things, what happens when the helpers don't show up, right? You get angry, you get frustrated, you start cursing at them, right? So that's our usual reactions when we are taking these things as a burden, right? But if we take it as some kind of an enjoyable activity, which we can be mindful, more like instead of work, it could be like play, as I mentioned earlier, right? Something that you can enjoy. And that made a huge difference. And even without other people's help, you can manage a whole lot and still you are happy. You are able to do many things and still join the class as well. Right. So that's the very idea. Now, instead of working, instead of making it a burden, we try to enjoy it more and more. We try to make it a play. Right. So that's the beauty of mindfulness. And if we don't have things still, if there are things that we are hating still, if there are things that we don't like to do, we can think about those activities and we can find our own way to make it more enjoyable. Find our own way to make it our mindful practice time, right? So thank you for sharing. I can see Samantha.
Avasarai. Oh, can you hear me, Bante?
Yeah.
Thank you. Avasarai Bante. I must admit, I did put this Bhante's advice into practice, and it did help me because since I took over the responsibility of looking after two parents, it was at the beginning it was a struggle, and everything was like a burden to do the washing and cleaning and looking after, etc. So then one day I saw the sink full of dishes, and I thought, right, I'm going to start mindfully washing the dishes, which normally I don't really like washing, but anyway, so one by one the sink was full, and I just focused my attention on the dishes, washing each thing, the water falling, and looking at the dirty dishes, and then putting the clean dish back onto this where to dry, etc. So as I did that, my mind became very peaceful and calm. That hatred, and in the end, the hatred or the aversion towards washing faded away. So it got to the stage now with practice. Every time I go to the sink and I see dishes, I don't have aversion. In fact, I quite like it in a way because it gives me a peaceful mind after washing the dishes. And similarly, when I have to, you know, there's a dirty floor and I have to mop the floor and clean it in the kitchen, before I would say, oh gosh, I had to do this, that's aversion. But if I sort of like take it, the job in hand, and mindfully do it, I'm able to sort of like have a peaceful mind. And then afterwards, when it's clean, I feel happy that I've done it, and it, you know, I was able to sort of like do it without aversion, peace. And thank you, Bhante. So I'd like to share that with you, Bhante.
Yeah, thanks for adding that. Now, when we think about looking after parents, that's one of the most wholesome things that we can do, right? Because it's like you are trying to repay them what they have done. Still, you are not able to do it, but at least you try, right? So that we know that it's one of the wholesome things to do. But what happens when it comes to the reality? Let's say if you actually have to do it one day, then what happens? Usually most people end up frustrated, getting angry towards them, right? Those reactions are natural when you have to do it for a longer period. If you have to really do it, then those reactions become natural. So that although we know that it's one of the wholesome things you can do, in reality, it's not easy to walk the talk, right? Most people end up frustrated. Most people end up angry and, you know, snapping at them. Those things happen, right? But if you approach it differently, like you said, if you approach it differently, then it too can be an activity that you can enjoy, right? Approaching a sink full of dishes in a different attitude, different mindset, and try to enjoy that, you know, that's a whole new approach to life. That's a whole new approach to the difficult things that we have to go through in life, right? So appreciate you sharing that. I think it will be a good lesson for the others as well. Now, when we see a sink full of dishes, what is our natural reaction and how can it approach differently? How can we make it more enjoyable than, you know, cursing at it, right? So you can even find certain kind of a rhythm or a pattern in the process that you are doing, right? Maybe you are applying water first, then applying soap. Are you doing it one by one? Are you doing it as a whole, as badges, right? So that way you can find certain patterns, routines in these things and try to, you know, make it more enjoyable. What I'm saying is it's not easy to do it in reality. Although we discuss like this, when we go into reality, we get that natural reaction, aversion, that reaction we get. So we have to find our own unique techniques, unique tools to make them more enjoyable. Find patterns in them. Try to see how these things are done. Notice the sensations. Notice the feeling that you get when you clean a dirty dish, right? So that way, how can we make these things more enjoyable? How can we make it a play instead of work, right? So that's the very approach. That's what we are trying to discuss. Appreciate Bhante. Your comments.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you, Bhante.
Anybody else? Maybe some cooking expert or somebody?
Sainath, I just thought I'll add something which I tested very recently, because sharing about dish washing your dishes, and all of a sudden I'm doing it now. So I did it mindfully once, then I started hating it more. And what I did was, now I'm playing something, you know, maybe I'm listening to a comedian or I'm watching something while doing the dishwashing. Now that activity has become enjoyable because I get some time to watch something that I like. But in the meantime, I've noticed I'm doing the dishes as well. So there's no complaints from my wife. So I thought I'll just add that part to the discussion, whether I'm doing something wrong. I'm just playing around with it. So I call it unmindful washing. And I think it's working so far. I just wanted to add that to the discussion, Zarina.
Yeah, I think you made it a play. That's the comment you are making. Forget about mindfulness. At least you are enjoying that time with your own way, right? So that's a good approach. That's a good approach. Maybe listening to music or maybe doing a dance while doing the dishes, right? I don't know, right? So that's simply making it a play instead of, you know, taking it as a burden, right? It might not be totally agree with the mindfulness, but still it's good to have a different approach, different mindset doing these type of things, right? So that's the very idea. In the meantime, I'm also thinking, how about the repetitive things in my life? For example, whatever the things we do here in a monk's daily routine, everything is repetitive, right? Nothing special, nothing, you know, attractive, nothing desirable in this life. So after a while, you get sick and tired of it, right? So sometimes you feel like avoiding certain parts of the daily routine, right? But the challenge, the very challenge of monkhood is how to maintain energy long term, right? That's the very challenge. Most people, I see that they have any energy in the beginning, but after a few minutes, they get sick and tired of it and they end up hating the process. They end up being frustrated, right? But if you have the ability to sustain it long term and somehow sustain your energy, that's the very idea. That's the very idea. That's the very challenge in monk's life, because everything is repetitive. Everything is repetitive. Everything is boring. You wake up early in the morning, you meditate for a couple of hours, you go for breakfast, you come back, do some discussions or something. If Lokuswami Nasi is available, otherwise we get holidays, right? Then go back on Pindapatha round, then do some duties, have your lunch, then afternoon meditation hours, chanting Vandana, then tea after that. 2 more hours of meditation. That's the whole schedule every day, repetitive, same type of schedule, right? So going through it few years, you get sick and tired of it. But if you have the strength to sustain it, if you have the ability to, you know, sustain your energy long term, not in short term. Short term, most people, they have energy, but within couple of years that energy vanishes. But if you have the ability to sustain energy long term, that's out of this world ability that you have, out of this world interest you have, right? So that's the very idea. Even in monk's life, everything is repetitive. Nothing colorful, nothing, you know, attractive, nothing desirable, right? So how can you approach that type of a lifestyle and how can you find peace within it? That's the struggle. That's the journey that a monk is going through. Same goes for the lay people, I guess. They too might have certain holidays, travels, once in a while, but most of their lifestyles are quite repetitive. Go to work 5 days per week, do your home things during the weekend, then again go back to work on Monday, right? So that type of schedule, that type of lifestyle, how you can sustain it, how you can make those 8 hours of work more enjoyable, because you spend so many hours per week at work. And if you start hating those hours, then it's not really good for your health, right? So how can you make your work more enjoyable? It might be the most boring thing in the entire world, most boring work in the entire world. But still, you have to find your ways, you have to find techniques to make it more enjoyable. It could be even clerical work, but still, can you make it more enjoyable? Can you approach it differently? Can you make it a play instead of work, right? So that's the very idea. And it says that if you find something you love, then you won't be working even a single day in your life, right? If you start hating what you do, then of course, you will be working for many long, exhausting hours, right? So think about your lives, try to approach these things differently. That's the idea of this entire discussion. Okay, I can see one more hand, Ashini.
Sir, I wake up at about 4:30 a.m. in the morning, and I want to wake up earlier than that at about 3:30, where I get used from RMA, but my parents are not allowing. And as soon as I get up, I do cleaning and then I cook rice, then scrape coconut, those things, and boil water. Those three things my mother has asked me to do. And I don't like to cook, but I'm capable of cooking. When she's not around, I'm the one who cooks. I don't like cooking at all, but when she's not there, I prepare special recipes to interest my father and my sister and all of them. But when, although I don't like cooking, when I start to cook, I do it with a certain passion. And then I sweep the home and the garden, and I'm the this compound, and thereafter I wash the washroom, and thereafter there's no work involved with me. So after that I can do whatever I want. So I like the routine work very much. If something else appears as a new thing is appearing to my work, I don't like that. The routine work I like because it's easy and I can manage it. But if something new is coming as a work to my add to my routine work, I don't like that. So I just want to tell you that song answer, and there's a certain aversion in me also, which related to work that may appear as a new one apart from the routine work. That's all, song.
Okay, so yeah, sometimes we become creatures of habit, like, you know, doing the same comfortable things every day and hating whatever new things that we have to do. That too is not good. So sometimes it will be a fun, mindful exercise for you to do something new, right? Talk to somebody new or go outside and work somewhere. That way, when you approach something new, you are moving out of your comfort zone, right? In a way, this whole practice is about moving out of your comfort zone. So if you are stuck in that comfort zone, if you are a creature of habit, then the practice also gets stuck, right? This mind, the entire meditation approach is to go beyond the comfort zone, go beyond the known, right? Transcend the known, go to the unknown. That is the very approach of meditation. So if you are a person who hates change, if you are a person who has become a creature of habit, then it would be a very nice mindful activity for you to do something new, right? Approach something new and see the struggle within, see how you are managing among that struggle, right? And some people, they become like, you know, control freaks. They want to, you know, align everything in their life. They want to have their morning tea at a certain time. If it is delayed, then they don't like it. As their morning tea, they need a certain recipe. Only that they want to have. Then after 2 hours from that morning tea, they want to have a sandwich as their breakfast, right? So this way we become control freaks. We try to control each and every aspect of our lives. And the struggle here is that, the sad thing here is that you are trying to go against reality. That is the issue. In reality, there is only chaos, right? If you try to control it this much, if you try to become a control freak, then you might, you know, end up frustrating yourself. You might end up exhausting yourself. You may trigger your own OCD, right? So for them also, we can suggest, try to break these routines. You have become a creature of habit, creature of routine. So can you try to break it? Try to have something different instead of your usual familiar breakfast, right? Try to drink something different and see how it tastes, right? So that way, if you are stuck in a comfort zone, you might try and move out of it. If you are stuck in controlling everything, you might once in a while try to let go of that control, right? So that way, in this practice, what we are trying to do is we are trying to go beyond the known, go beyond the familiar mind, right? Go to the unknown, transcend the known. That's the very practice. That's the very approach. So when you break your routines, when you accept chaos for a change, then you realize it is uncovering a whole new part of your mind, right? So that way, try to approach these things differently. Try to do a new thing, at least one thing every day, something new, something you have done before, right? Go to the market, buy some fish, I don't know, something like that, right? So that way, try to do something new and try to see how you can manage that new activity with the struggle inside. Thank you for sharing. I think with that, we can go forward. We are past our usual time for the activity. With that, Tarindu, you can take over, I guess.
Arina, thank you very much for that wonderful exercise, wonderful session to start the program. So with that, we are moving on to the talk once again by Venerable Dhammakosala Swami Nuhansa. So I formally invite Swami Nuhansa again to continue the topic from last week. Swami Nuhansa.
Okay, so last week we started this new topic. It's something, you know, about alcohol. There was this alcohol analogy in that, but we explained the idea behind it and how we can really relate it to the practice that we are doing. So if you joined last week, you got the idea, and today I try to reveal some new part of the same topic, right? So last time we discussed being tipsy, right? It's slightly intoxicated, right? So when we say slightly intoxicated, it is somewhat similar to the word play that is used in philosophy, right? How can you make it play instead of work, right? For this, kids are the best example. When they are little, when they are not grown up, whatever they do, right, they make it a play. Let's say talking to somebody, they giggle and talk. They make it a play, right? Running, going somewhere, they don't just go. They run and they stop. They wait for their parents, again they run, right? That way they make it a play, right? Eating something, not simply eating or trying to, you know, consume it. Instead, they somehow make it a play, right? Maybe waiting somewhere, they don't feel like standing on their feet. Instead, they try to do a headstand, right? So that way, these young children, they approach life as a play, right? When you look at a child, you feel like they are slightly intoxicated, right? It appears like they are slightly intoxicated. They are always laughing, giggling, you know, talking nonstop. So that type of behavior, usually the children are showing, right? So when we grow up, what happens? When we grow up, our parents influence us. The society influences us, right? Then our teachers influence us, right? That way, when we grow up, usually we are stuck in a certain kind of a cage. This cage is not physical. Instead, in our own mind, as concepts, as thoughts, this cage is built, right? We think that we shouldn't be changing these concepts. We think that we should be only approaching these type of thoughts, right? So that way we are creating this kind of a cage in us as concepts and as thoughts. And whenever you try to do something out of the ordinary, then your mind doesn't allow. And if something happened, you look around to see whether anybody is watching, right? Suddenly, when you grow up, all the fun that you had as a child, or the way you approach life as a play, that disappears, right? You become so serious. You become a serious creature. Whenever somebody talks to you, you take it so seriously. Whatever happens in the surrounding, you think about it so seriously. And whatever the activities that you do, things that you have to achieve, right? People in your life, everything, you take them so seriously. So this seriousness can really kill all the fun. This seriousness makes this life dead weight. Right? People are suffering with this. You can see the dead weight. You can see the baggages that they are carrying. Even the face, you can see the burden in that face. Even their behaviors, you can see they are burdened so much. Even the bodies move as the bodies are carrying so much burden, right? So this way, you can see this seriousness is killing all the fun in this life. this seriousness making people, you know, dead weight. This seriousness, they take it for this entire world kind of a responsibility. They think that they are responsible for the well-being of this entire world. They think about the climate change and they try to do something about it. They think about poor, even at least once in a while. They try to do something about it. They think about crime and how to control it. And they think that the Third World War is about to happen. Right? And in their minds, they might be thinking, okay, Israel, they have attacked Iran and it's going to happen. Right? So that way, they are carrying the entire world on their back, trying to be so serious, trying to take this life so seriously. It's like they are the one to save this world. They are the assigned one to save this world. That type of a behavior most people are showing. And there is no fun in this life. This seriousness is, it has killed it, right? But if you think about a child, they don't have this burden in their mind. They don't approach this life so seriously. Whatever they do, they try to make it a play. They try to make it a play, and although the parents try to make it boring for them, they don't listen to their parents. They somehow find a way to enjoy that very same repetitive old activity, right? So in a way, children, they appear to be slightly intoxicated. Children, they appear to be tipsy in a way, right? So that's the very topic. That's the very idea that we are also trying to manifest. Can we approach this life as a play? Can we be slightly intoxicated in this life? Can we enjoy this life, letting go of this seriousness that we have, right? So that's the very idea. That's the very idea. So let's say when you are new to this practice, you are like a person who is carrying the weight of this entire world on your back. You act like you are the savior. You are the one. That way you act. But gradually, when you develop your practice, you start to enjoy your life in the present moment. That very enjoying the life in the present moment, that is the very idea of play. Let's say you are playing a piano, right? You say you are playing it. You don't work it, right? Music, when it comes to music, you play music. You don't work music, right? So that's the very idea. The idea behind music, the idea behind dancing, it is to enjoy the process. Not to finish it, not the end goal, but to enjoy the dancing process. Enjoy the playing music process. That's the very idea. And you can go and see an orchestra. And when you see a world-class orchestra, you can feel how much those people are enjoying that moment. They don't try to, you know, finish it quickly. They don't try to, you know, jump their gun with it. Instead, they wait for the proper moment and they do their bit. They enjoy that moment to the fullest. And even the crowd, they get the same vibe from the orchestra. Even the crowd, they start to, you know, get intoxicated with the music. Even the crowd, they start, you know, finding a rhythm in that music, right? So that way, this life becomes a play. When you go see an orchestra, you see it as a play. When you go see dancing, it's a play, right? When you see children, they appear to be playing with this life, right? we adults, we try to be so serious. I have met some people, it's like they haven't met anybody lighthearted in their entire life, right? They are too serious and they have met too many serious people in their lives, right? They too take the life so seriously. They take it like in the entire world is behind on their back, right? It makes their life dead weight. And if they find somebody who takes the life lightheartedly, if they find somebody who takes the life as a play, they don't like that person. They don't like that approach. They end up hating that person. They end up finding a certain kind of aversion in their mind towards that person, right? But the mindful practitioners, they train themselves to make this present moment more and more enjoyable. Most of the time in your present moment, you don't have precious, most important activities to do. Instead, they are repetitive. Instead, they are uninterested, menial activities that we have to do every day. But how can we find play in those activities? How can we enjoy the moment in those activities? That's the important idea that we have to get. For that, we have to be slightly intoxicated. That's the topic that we are having. That's the title of this topic. For that, in order for us to enjoy the moment, we might have to be slightly intoxicated. If you try to take it so seriously, if you try to do this activity perfectly, then you might not be able to enjoy it, right? So in a way, you have to let go of that control freak kind of nature in you in order to enjoy the activity, in order to be slightly intoxicated. You can't try to make it 100% accurate. You do it, you enjoy it, and at the end of the day, you have done a good job. That would be enough. That would be enough. You don't have to do it perfectly. Let's say doing the dishes. If you try to, you know, scrape everything, every dot, make it perfect, then it might be a whole new struggle. But if you are enjoying that moment, maybe you have some music playing in the background, forget about mindfulness, at least you are enjoying that part, right? And even maybe you find a rhythm in the activity that you are doing, and doing dishes, you find a routine in that. That way you try to enjoy it, make it more enjoyable, make it more appropriate for you, right? So that way, when you try to approach it, you might not be able to do a perfect job, but still you'll do a good enough job, right? So still you'll be able to enjoy the activity. You won't exhaust yourself with that perfect try for fat approach, right? So that way we have to approach the life differently. We have to approach these little tasks in our daily lives differently, because this task is the only task you have at the moment. This is the point of control, right? You don't have any other point of control. Whatever the task in the future, you have no control over them. Whatever the task that you did yesterday, you have no control over them. This is the only point of control, right? Or the point of power. So why not do this task with a more present mind? Why not approach this point of power the way it should be approached, right? That's the very idea. Because whatever the other activities that you plan to do tomorrow or day after tomorrow, currently they are out of control, out of your power. What is under your power, what is under your control, is the task at your hand, right? So why don't we try to approach that task why don't we try to do it in a more enjoyable manner, right? So that's the very idea. That's what I was referring to, taking this life as a play. Try to take this activity at hand as a play, not as work, not as a burden, but something that you can enjoy. You don't have to do it perfectly. Instead, good enough is good enough. That's the very idea. For you to do that, maybe you have to let go of the grip of your mind a little. Mindfulness will help you do that. Most people I have seen, when they started with the practice, they were too serious. They approached life too seriously. But with time, they were able to let go in their minds. And as a result, they could approach the life with a certain kind of play. Right? So that approach is important. That change is important. And if you have that change in your life, then you will end up being a happy person. Right? Otherwise, it's always a struggle. Right? We have this compulsion to do things. Right? It makes our life hell. Most of these activities we do with a certain kind of compulsion. Right? And one after other, again and again, thinking about the impending things, thinking about the past, that type of a whole struggle that you are in, right? But when you take one thing at a time and try to do it wholeheartedly, then you are taking a different approach towards this life. And you can start with these menial activities, repetitive activities, like brushing your teeth. Every day, you are spending 5-10 minutes doing that in the morning as well as before you go to bed, right? Why not make a reminder for you to enjoy those few moments? Every day, you have your daily chores, maybe cooking, maybe doing your dishes, maybe going to work even, right? Some people end up frustrated. Some people end up hating these things so much, right? But maybe next time you can approach it differently. Try to see a sink full of dishes in a different light. Try to approach your daily work in a different way. Try to find ways to make it more enjoyable. Try to find ways to make it your mindful meditation time, right? So that way, if you can do it, then that'll help you grow your practice, as well as that'll help you to be a happy person, right? That's the most important thing, right? If you are not happy, then you haven't gained anything in this life. Most parents, that happen to them. They do everything for their children. But at the end of the day, they are not happy. They end up frustrated. They end up hating their children. And in turn, children do the same thing towards their parents. Right? And the parents will say, I have sacrificed my entire life for them and still I am not happy. Then you end up hating your work. You have sacrificed so many hours of your daily life towards your work, and at the end of the day, you are not happy. Then you do things for the world. You know, you care for the poor. You do your charity work. But at the end of the day, if you are not happy, then you have lost, right? So you have to make sure that you are happy first. Then you can make the world happy. Then you can make your family members happy. If you are truly happy inside, then that happiness, of course, will overflow. You don't have to forcefully do it, right? Instead, that happiness will eventually overflow. Your family members will feel it. Your friends will feel it. Even your colleagues will feel it. Even the society will feel it. That this person is overflowing with happiness. That's the very idea when it is said in Christianity. It is said that love thy neighbor thyself. Right? Not just love your neighbor, but you are the comparison. As you love yourself, love your neighbor. Love the other person as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, if you are hating yourself, then of course that hatred will overflow towards the world as well. They do things for the sake of doing. They do their duties for the children. They do the work. They do the part for the society. But at the end of the day, they end up hating everything. That's a good life wasted, right? So you have to make sure that you are happy inside. That's the most priority. That's the important thing, right? If you are happy, if you are slightly intoxicated, if you have that play kind of approach towards life, then of course you can make the others happy. Of course you can, you know, make, you can take care of the other people in your life. That's the very idea. So try to see how you are doing these daily routines. Try to notice your mindset while doing them. Am I having aversion towards these people while helping them? Am I having aversion while doing the dishes at home? Maybe when you have aversion in your mind while doing the dishes, you make so much noise. It's like you are showing your irritation towards the family members and doing the dishes so loudly, making so much noise. You are trying to clean the dishes, but your mind, something even much closer than the dishes, it has become dirty, right? So you have anger, you have irritation, and you are showing it with being so loud while you are doing it, right? So that way, if you do these things, it's natural that you are stressed. It's natural that you are frustrated. But if you approach this life differently, if you try to find ways to be mindful in them, then these menial repetitive activities, they could be enjoyable. And even the entire life, whatever it is, you know, doing your work, caring for the family members, doing daily chores, whatever it is, still you can approach it as a play, right? So look at children. They approach life as a play. They seem to appear slightly intoxicated, right? If you can approach the life that way, then you can find something so precious in the present moment. Try and see when you train your mind again and again, when you do your daily meditation hours, when you approach your daily life as a meditation, gradually you start to find something precious in the present moment, not in this unknown future, not in the past, but in the present moment, you find something peace. And you found it into at least into a certain level, you feel so much peace within. That's the important part. That's the real idea of this practice. That's why this practice becomes the top priority out of everything. Even the family members, they become second priority. Even your work, it becomes second priority. Even whatever the things you do, it becomes second priority. Because the top priority is to have the peace within. If you have peace of mind, then everything else will be taken care of. If you don't have it, then at the end of the day, you have lost, right? So try to see, try to notice whether you are making this the top priority, whether you have peace within. That is important. If you don't have, then you might have to take some extra effort. You might have to approach this differently and see how can you make it more enjoyable. So that's the idea. I hope you understood the idea behind this drinking analogy. And thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante. And with that, we are moving on to the Q&A session, and we will be reading out your reports as well. And to do that, we have Lushani here today. So welcome, Lushani, and I'm handing over to you now to conduct the session.
Thanks, Luther and Bill. Before I read the reports, I'll do a quick screen share of what needs to be done in terms of daily practice. I think, can you all see my screen? I hope I'm doing the screen share correctly. So if you're new to the session and new to the practice, what would be recommended is you do mindful walking and mindful sitting. And that is, we've got two links, so you can watch these links on YouTube to get an understanding of what they are and how to do it. Try to start as much as possible, even with like doing 15 minutes a day, and then gradually increase. I always believe doing something is better than doing nothing. So please start a daily practice. Usually it's nice to do it like 1 hour of mindful sitting and mindful walking a day. And that's when you see the benefits of the practice. Then you can put all your experiences into a mindful report and send it to us. And we've got the links there as well through Google Form, or you can email it to us as well. And then we will read out the reports like we are doing now today. And then we read it out. You can ask your questions, and Bhante will give you further guidance on the practice as well as answer any questions you have. So I hope that was useful. Let me stop sharing my screen. And with that, Bhante, we have one report received for today, so I will read it out. It's mindful walking. Walk to the station on the way to work. Feet movements noted, especially pressure on toes and balls of feet while going down the hill. When ground became flatter, the pressure on heels was more prominent. From time to time, other things also noted along with feet movements, such as cold air touching face and hands, sound of passing vehicles, rustling of leaves on tall trees, flow of traffic at the crossing, etc. Body weight felt mostly on heels while standing at crossing. Also felt vibrations from walking movements in the body. Walk for 20 minutes. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion in a comfortable position, noticed the breath initially, and streams of random thoughts came up. Kept observing and no interest in proliferating. Attention returned to breath while thoughts continued to flow in the background. Subtle breath experienced as rhythmic. Cannot remember much after that. Came out of the session when awareness of prominent breath noted. Sat for 45 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. Noting how some firmly held beliefs are softening. Mind notes the amount of energy used to hold a specific view. When that tight energy passes and the mind experiences calmness, that feels more peaceful. This was noticed multiple times in the past few weeks during interactions with others when there were opposing views. Conflict of opposing views takes up too much energy, but when mind returns to neutral space, it feels energy efficient because it is not pulled in different directions with restlessness or agitation. Not sure if this makes any sense. It is becoming less important to hold on to views about wars and other tragedies to the external world because this simply brings up the war of opposing views inside the mind. Instead, there is more interest in acknowledging external events without having to react to these. It feels more efficient to offer help when it is needed and have the capacity to help without contaminating the internal world by taking sides. This does not work every time, although noticing it more. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you, Teruvan Saranai. End of the report.
Okay, thanks for sharing. Now, let's say walking to the station, right? You feel those bodily movements, the pressure points, and the surrounding. That way you are walking. When somebody listens to these details, they feel like, why we observe these things? Why should we pay attention to the sensations at this feet, right? That question most people ask. Why shouldn't I walk usual way and, you know, mind my own business? Why put energy, effort towards practice? But think about these 20 minutes. If you are not practicing mindfulness during those 20 minutes, what will happen? Right? Then you will always be in compulsive thinking. Those thought processes, family problems, work matters, everything, right? Your beliefs, concepts, ideas, right? So those things, in a compulsive way, you keep on thinking, keep on supporting, keep on energizing, right? So when you are not mindful, this happens. 20 minutes walking to the station, this happens. 40 minutes seated in a train, this happens, right? Even during work hours, without you even knowing, in the back end of your mind, these processes are repetitively happening, right? So whenever you are not mindful, you are energizing these thought processes. Compulsive thinking, you are energizing. Certain beliefs, you are energizing, right? Family problems, worries, you are energizing. And at the end of the day, you come and you complain, I am so stressful, right? You don't know the reasoning behind that stress. You don't know what created it, but you complain, right? So when we approach this differently, it's the simple sensations in a walking body, what to observe there. That's the initial idea somebody gets, right? The surrounding, the breeze that is touching your skin or the face. What to observe here? That's the usual idea somebody gets. But by observing these little sensations, by observing this simple process, we are getting rid of those compulsive thought processes. We are preventing the power that we have given to those thought processes, right? So after doing it for many months, you start to see how your firmly held beliefs are changing, how they are becoming more softer. Still, you might have that belief, but at least you're approaching other people in a softer way, right? You don't try to fight each and every person on the beliefs that you're having. Now look at the world that we are living today, right? So many bloodshed, so many wars, right? Who knows? Next moment, it will be a nuclear war. Who knows? What is the reasoning behind these things? Most of the time, religion, right? The beliefs, right? Maybe race, whatever it is, that's the reasoning. So firmly held beliefs. People will kill everybody else who is against that belief, right? And it's an eventing process. It's an eventing process, right? So in this practice, imagine that we are letting go of our beliefs. We are changing into a more neutral state. Even our own beliefs about Dhamma or the Buddhism, they too are changing. they too are becoming more and more softer, right? Let's say somebody, some other person, right? Maybe somebody from a different religion, maybe a Buddhist. They will approach us. They will say their own thing, right? Do we have to correct them all the time? Do we have to, you know, fight them all the time? No, that's your belief. Agree to disagree. Yeah, what else to do, right? So that type of a softness, it appears in our mind, right? If you are firmly holding onto these beliefs, then you can't let go that easily. You need to fight that person over the statement they made, right? You need to protect your own religion. You feel like you are protecting Buddha, right? That way you feel in your mind. There's this funny story about Buddha and his disciples. One time, he was traveling with some disciples a long way, long path, walking, right? Traveling daily, night time they rest, again next day morning they travel. So even the other people, they are going alone with this caravan, right? Because it's safer to travel as groups. Right, even the other people, other religious monks, they are also traveling along this. Right, so these monks who are traveling with Buddha, they overhear something. There are two other monks from a different tradition, and one of them, they are praising the Buddha. Right, whenever they are talking, they overhear that this person is praising the Buddha. Then the other person, his teacher, he is blaming the Buddha. The disciple is praising the Buddha. The teacher is blaming the Buddha. Right? So every time when they talk, the monks who travels with Buddha, they overhear this. So after being patient for many days, one time they go to Buddha and tell him, "Bhante, you don't know what's happening. These two monks from a different tradition that are traveling with us, the disciple, he's praising you. And the teacher, he's blaming you. Right? We overheard this. We can't bear it. This is what's happening, Bhante. We have to do something." Right? And the Buddha says, when that disciple is praising me, what was the reaction in your mind? Now he is pointing towards the monks who are overhearing, right? When somebody is praising Buddha, what was the reaction in your mind? If you were pleased to hear those words, then you are caught in samsara, right? When the teacher, he is blaming me, what was the reaction in your mind? If you were agitated, if you were angry in your mind, then you are caught in samsara. Right? Somebody might be blaming Buddha. But if we get angry in our mind, then we are caught. Right? Somebody might be praising the Buddha. If we are pleased in our mind, then we are caught. See, even the beliefs about Buddha, even the beliefs about Dhamma, we have to let them go. Right? Not overnight. Gradually, with time, you are letting go of these things. Right? Your beliefs become softer. They become more and more neutral. In a way, it feels like this person, he doesn't have a backbone. Right? This person is agreeing with everything that the people are saying. Right? Somebody comes and tells their own opinion. Oh, you listen to them. It feels like you agreed with them. Then another person comes and gives a totally different opinion. That too, you are listening so attentively. It felt like you agreed with them. But at the end of the day, you neither rejected nor agreed. Right? That's the very approach That's the very practice, right? Whatever the mind objects that appear in our mind, we are not rejecting them. We are not accepting them as well, right? You neither reject nor accept. You simply watch it like a statue, right? Like a dumb person, you are looking at it. Like a blind person, you are staying there. Like a deaf person, you are staying there, right? Like a weak person, you are staying there. Like a dead person, you are staying there, but fully attentive. You see everything, you hear everything, you know what the other people are doing, but you stay like a statue. That is the very meditation. You neither agree nor reject, right? Can you maintain that level of neutrality in your mind? For a beginner, of course, no. But with repetitive practice, when you do these type of like formal sessions daily, 20 minutes of walking, 45 minutes of sitting, when you approach it that way, when you continue for a few months, then you realize my firmly held beliefs are becoming softer, right? They are changing. And I am saving so much of precious energy, right? Otherwise, arguments with other people, you know, fighting our own beliefs, right? Trying to save the religion, trying to save the race, trying to save the country, trying to save the school you went to, trying to save the university. Some people, they are so firm in their beliefs. Even you can't say something against their 20 years old school, right? They have finished their studies 20 years ago. But still, if you blame that school, they will fight you. Still, if you say something against the university, they will fight you. Still, you say something against the country, they will fight you. Something against their religion, they will fight you. Right? That type of firmly held beliefs most people have. Right? So sometimes when I deal with them, I go and I say something totally opposite. I tell something like, you know, Muslims, they understand mindfulness better than Buddhists, right? And the Buddhists who are listening, they get so angry. They get so angry and they start fighting their own beliefs, right? And you say something against their university or school, right? And they get so angry, agitated, right? Some people, they are Candian, right? Turning the mind overhearing. Candian. And when you say something against Candian people, they get so angry, right? So, firmly held beliefs, right? So that's how it is. That's how it is, right? So when you approach this practice little by little, when you do your homework, when I say homework, you have to do your formal meditation. At least for a few months, you have to continue like this. Otherwise, we can't even talk about these topics, right? But when you continue for a few months, when you progress in your daily practice, little by little, you realize now even the firmly held beliefs, they are softening. And as a result, you save so much of your energy and you become energy efficient, right? You can pay attention to the real things in life, important things in life, right? You can do your work more efficiently because you are not wasting your energy. You have much more free capacity in your mind to absorb whatever that comes, right? That's the very idea. So thank you for sharing it. This is evidence for even the other people who are new here. They too can do this change. They too can become so efficient in their minds. They too can have so much freed up capacity in their mind, right? So that's the very idea. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante, for that valuable guidance. That's the end of the reports. Anyone who has any questions, please raise your Zoom hand and you can ask your question from Bhante. Anyone has questions today? It doesn't look like there's questions today, Bhante.
Yeah, that too we can take as a positive sign. No questions. So, yeah. I'm in a new setting today. Here we have a power cut. Some repair work is going on, so I have a totally different new setting here. I had to find natural light and some connection that works without battery. So I have a beautiful background behind me, very nice. Even on this device, I can do the background blur. Right. So are we going to end the session then?
I think so. I don't think there are any questions. So thank you, Bhante. Thank you very much for that valuable advice. Lot of merits to you. Avasarai, Karan Saranai. Tarandi, over to you.
Oh, thank you, Lushani, for conducting the Q&A and reading out the reports. So then we have come to the end of the program, and with that, I'd like to thank Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero for being with us and teaching us mindfulness and giving us all these advices and creating us a space to put out our mindful experience. And for that, we are very much thankful to Dhammakusala Thero. And also, we can't forget the Chief Abbot of Nisarnavane, Dhammakusala Dhammajiva Mahathero, for initiating this program. And also, I'd like to thank those who joined with us today and those who are joined our Facebook Live as well. And I cannot forget the team behind this program. So thank you very much for them as well for making the time to bring this program every week. Okay, so I'd like to end the session and just wanted you to remind that take some time out of your schedule and start practicing, and you will start feeling and you will start realizing what we are trying to say. So with that, I'm going to end the session. Thank you very much.